He's outside your houses right now asking them to
Oh, he's
foreclose
trying to
on
collect
them.
food.
God, I hate these people. God, I'm so curious on how they live with themselves. Ugh.
Welcome back to the number one podcast in the world. We've got the core four here and, dare I say,
the king of Adams.
The king of Adams. Yes, Captain Travis Kalanick is here. How you doing, brother?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. I'm sitting here doing the podcast just next door to David.
Ah, yes. There you go.
Don't reveal our locations.
Please don't dox.
I didn't put my address out there, dude.
No, oh,
that's
no.
True.
Don't worry. Mondami did. He's outside your houses right now asking them to foreclose.
Oh, he's trying
on
to collect 3.9% or something?
Yeah. He decided there's no rich tax. People left in New York, so he's looking for
Sorry,
other cities.
Is it 3.9% a year? Is it per year? Or is
I
it
don't know if
time?
The percentage has been released yet, but the speculation I've seen is 3.9%, but I don't think that's final. But yeah, it's a piada tax. So if you
but
have a
year?
Second home, yeah, every year.
Wow.
And by the way, it's for any home over 5 million. There's no homes under 5 million in Manhattan. This is not a rich person tax. This is within 15 miles.
Does homes include condos as well? What is the average condo price Manhattan? Or we should say median, I guess. The median is 2.7 to 2.8 million. That was the average sale price in 2026. The median price for all is 1.66 million. So he's way off there, but okay.
Of Midtown Manhattan, you're paying an extra tax.
But J-Cal, only if it's a piada tariff. So what it means is
right.
That the most
second homes.
Well, yeah, but the most elastic part of the market is what they're targeting for this tax. So in other words, people who don't live in New York, who just have it as a second or third home, who could buy that property anywhere,
yeah,
are now being taxed the most. So what do you think that's going to do? It's going to have a massive impact on demand for second homes in New York, which will crash the whole market.
First of all, unless I'm completely unaware of something, I don't think that they make second homes. It's just property that you can live in, or you can have it as like secondary or tertiary or whatever property if you want. But is there a market where it's like, well, these are just secondary homes and now nobody's going to buy a second home? What will happen ideally is somebody will use it as a primary home. That's kind of the goal.
Yes. Congratulations.
Was that New York City or Manhattan? I looked up Manhattan. This says Manhattan condo.
Vision's mom dummy.
But in a weird way, that'll be good for housing affordability in New York.
That's sort of the claim, but I don't think it'll be good for it because there'll be no incentive to build more.
What? Like, these guys just get, dude, I can't listen to this shit. I just can't listen to this shit. I can't, there should be a new law that you have to have, like, one person to not circle jerk with you on if you do a podcast. That has to be, like, the new law. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. There's no incentive to build more because idle landlords have an additional tax to pay? What the fuck are you talking about? Like, oh no, there goes the whole demand to live in New York City. Can't have a second home there that I don't even fucking live in. This is such a brainless take that's destroyed it with like 2 seconds of critical thought.
Yeah. All units matter. Every time you add units, people upgrade. And it's not like these are going
to
be...
Add units? Oh, like when you add units to the market by making idle landlords or idle tenants like sell them maybe?
Low-income housing. Penthouse on 57th Street or, you know, in Gramercy. That's not low-income housing. You'd have to break it into 7 units. Makes no sense. But by the way, I don't know if you guys saw the video, not to get too serious.
First of all, I mean, I'm sure other people that actually live there would probably buy these units, number one. But then number two, also, if they were to make it into more units, then that would just also be creating more property for other people to move into, no?
But he's doxing a certain billionaire who owns a certain place, and he's literally pointing at his home.
No, I said that to you, Jason. He's not doxing because everybody's known for years that Ken Griffin bought that place. Everybody knows that address. Everybody knows that unit. We all knew it. It was marketed widely. I don't think that's really doxing.
Oh, good job. Wow. Okay. So this guy, is this Chamath? What's this guy's name? Apparently, I didn't know this, but somebody brought it up in the middle of my debate with that one guy. I think Zip said it. Apparently, this was the most expensive single property unit or whatever sold in all of the United States of America, I guess. That's why Mamdani was outside and pointed to that particular thing. I don't know if I have any more super crazy right-wing capitalist cucks in chat or whatever, or if those guys have all completely abandoned me because I'm too radical now. I don't know what the take is. How can you make a positive argument for people who own property in a place that don't fucking live there? I just super just don't give a fuck. I just wouldn't care. Like, I hear that this is like an issue in London too, where like London is like the place you go once you've made it, once you're rich, you can go and you can move to London, but a lot of people don't live there full time or they don't even work there. They just buy something there and they retire. It feels like you have all these people that either have property there or are living there and they aren't really contributing actively anymore to the economy. They just kind of sit there and retire. I don't know. It just seems like cucked. I wouldn't like it for my city.
Doesn't live there and everybody knew he owned it. It would be very different if it was a place where somebody was keeping their primary residence and you didn't.
Destiny, people will sell and the tax revenue won't be realized. Those PATs cross-subsidize. I don't know what PATs means. Cross-subsidized Class A residential buildings, so these taxes are implicitly making new construction more expensive. My feeling on construction is that housing and everything this is a thing that the market can solve just so easily, that this is the thing that stands in front of new construction or units and everything is zoning, like a 1,000,000,000%. There might be some world where some kind of government policy can make it so that it disincentivizes builders or whatever else, or I'm sorry, not government policy, but where a market is so saturated with units or whatever that this becomes a problem. But my understanding is right now, like, the biggest thing that gets in between builders and building is just it's zoning, right?
No, and they stood in front of the house. That I would agree with you. I think this one is a little bit more tenuous.
Okay, fair enough. But what I will tell you is it's a dog whistle. Crazy people, and this thing's been seen by 30, 40, 50 million people now. It's a dog whistle.
What?
That's wrong.
What's wrong?
Your housing take.
What's wrong about it?
It's not zoning. There's multiple examples of this in the world where, like,
I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the United States. But go ahead.
Oh my God. No, I was using the biggest issue since 2020 was the mortgage. You know this, but I'm just saying it. The mortgage came down. People don't want to sell because they've got low mortgages. But what that basically does is it puts massive pressure on the mortgage, the housing market turns to the home builders. So around like 50% of all homes sold, or I think it was 45% was the peak in 2023, was new houses built. That's really not what you want. You want it to be existing houses to be the majority, large majority of sales. And you want the small minority to be new houses. Because if you put the pressure onto home builders, then they are going to match the building of the projected like growth rate of the population and also the decline of the population. So right now, for example, because there's zero immigration, right, in most of the cities, or emigration in some cities like California or in most of the Dem states, what's happening is they're building less there and building more in places like Texas and Houston. So you're having lower rents in places like that, like higher pressure on downwards. In like, for example, Houston has a much less likely to increase in rent prices as much as like California, and not because of the demand, but because of the supply also coming online is much lower. So the home builders aren't building because like they're not going to just build infinite. If you give them tax, like the easiest way, 100%, that to get this to work, like I would recommend at least vouching for, is just, I don't know how this is, right? Like tax cuts essentially on land leasing.
Hold on, wait. You're telling me right now that you could somehow upzone, or you could zone an empty lot in a place in New York City or a place in Miami or Seattle or whatever else, and nobody will step in to buy and build a home there.
Okay, but that's okay. I don't want to. I'm fine engaging with that, but like, do you understand we're talking like national, and then you'll give me an example of like most, like the reality is that you're never going to you're not going to restructure, sorry, I'm thinking the best way to say this, restructure like the existing metropolitan areas in the US.
Sure.
Especially in places like New York. It's just not going to happen ever unless you have a massive like political will to do it.
And sure, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but that's what I'm saying, because when we're talking about like housing and affordability and availability and all that, we're really talking, in my opinion at least, we're talking about these areas. And the thing that is preventing like new units from being brought online or whatever, I'm sure that you could try to nibble around the edges at, I can't imagine how fucking distorted the housing market is because of all the different tax incentives and penalties and everything else. But like the reality is that like, if there's the availability to build in an area or to upzone an area and to have like more units brought online, like builders will come and renters will rent, like full stop. But that everything when we talk about cities is all just like the most kind of like out there policy, because that just doesn't seem to be possible. I don't know if that's relevant to what you just said or relevant to my original.
Okay, so I'm not going to pretend I know. You have a good enough idea. I mean, I used to know pretty good high level stuff. I'm not going to go deep into like each individual city.
Sure.
But I know for sure that you're not going to get meaningful, like, for example, if we were to go back to like pre-2000s level immigration, mm-hmm. home builders are not going to build now because they know that. One, the appetite for immigration is lower and lower as time goes on, so that's one angle. And then there's also the angle of that, like the renting is becoming more kind of looked at as like an opportunity. But there's also the not like on a massive scale. That's just I'm just naming the examples. But the big one is really that like the growth of the overall population is kind of reaching a stagnating like area. So one really big issue is that because 2009 kind of just like massively overinflated all of the existing supply, what you had is like you had home builders that basically just got blown up on like chasing that, and then what happened is they went through the 2010s just making very basically nothing. There's a chart.
Sure. Okay. So somewhere. I guess to chill for a sec, because when I think of home stuff, like in my mind, this is like a very like regional geography kind of based thing. Like it's hard to talk, like whatever conversation we have about building homes nationally is going to be a lot different than the conversation we have about like making homes more affordable in particular cities or something.
Oh yeah, all the home builders are national. They're national. Like for example, KBH Homes, Len, all these ones, they're building houses everywhere. So they all keep track of like the overall national thing and the regional one, as you said, right? But the things I'm saying, for example, the population growth and stuff like that, they're going to apply massively to the kind of the evaluations of like, because they all have massive amounts of leased land. Like they have loads. There's like some charts out there. They're really good. Like you can see like the leased land from like 2010 to now, it's massive, the explosion amount of land they have, but they're not building like they could. I mean, it's also because labor, it's kind of hard to get construction workers in the US to do that. But I mean, they could definitely do it if they wanted to. They could build more 100% if they wanted to, but they just aren't incentivized because if they build more, they're going to destroy their own market.
Yeah, but are these places really... are these places where there's like high demands for units?
Which places you mean, like in general?
Like, because my issue is that if you're saying that there is land where somebody could build, but they're choosing not to build for whatever reason, that whatever money you could collect in rents would far outstrip, you know, whatever small penalty you might take for not, you know, for lowering, I guess, like the property value of other places around you if you build or whatever, at least from like a builder landlord perspective.
You have to remember, maybe you do understand this, but I'm talking from a home builder. These people do not own the homes. They just sell them once they're done. They build them, then they sell them. They're gone. So these people aren't viewing it in like a, what can you make back from like a...
Sure, maybe not directly, but like that thing is going to be passed along, right?
Yeah. It's going to be, like the mortgage rates, all these things are going to have aspects of like the thing. But I'm saying the biggest, broadest aspects for them are they don't want to create too many units to the point that they oversaturate the market and they destroy their... Like one, that's what they've done. They've done this now. Like everyone was talking about how there was like not enough supply, and like we need more homes. Like in America, for the last like from like 2020, I mean you know this, right? You've probably seen it. 2020 to like 2023. Yeah. So the home builders obviously massively affected by the mortgage rates, all of these like existing things, but they don't want to oversaturate the market by building too many units, which is what they did from 2020 to 2023, and they also did it in 2000 to 2009. It's a kind of cyclical thing with them, but mm-hmm. they are keeping a lot more track of it now because the population growth is slowing down. So like as the rate of increase of population growth, like for example, in the 2000s, like 1990s, 1980s, right? The possibility of population growth is much higher. Right now, the reality is you're not going to increase like the population in the US by like 10%. Like you used to, right? Or like 5%.
Sure, but like I still imagine these have to be like somewhat like regional conversations, no? Like you're not like...
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not...
It isn't, yeah.
Yeah, like if you have like a developer or whatever, and they're like, we don't think the market is good right now to build houses, and we have all this leased land in like Iowa and Montana or whatever, and then all of a sudden they acquire property in, for whatever reason, they acquire property in like Seattle. I don't know if they're like thinking like, well, nationally, the demand isn't that high, so we're just going to kind of sit on this. I feel like they'd probably...
Oh, no, that's not what I mean, no. Mm-hmm. So like I mentioned in the beginning, like for example, most of the housing, like the home building right now, like the last 3 to 4 years has been in the southern states because emigration has happened between the Dem states to the red states, and most of the immigration has happened into the red states. So they've basically all of the new units and stuff, I'm not trying to say like 90%, like the majority of them are coming from the southern states. So that's why the rent and the house prices, the upward momentum is a lot smaller in those states because the supply coming online is more. So there's like the floor is like rising, you know what I mean? Like the floor on the price. Oh, sorry, sure. Not the floor. The floor on the price is lowering. Sorry, I'm the wrong way. Sure. Yeah.
Fuck, I don't remember. What was the initial take that I gave that you disagreed with?
Oh, it was that the zoning is going to fix, if the zoning is like the floodgate, and once you open it, then you kind of can't go fix the solution.
If you were to nuke Seattle and you were to zone two times as many units in Seattle,
100% that would work. Yeah, that would be it. They would build. They would like you can build in America.
Yeah.
Like you can in Europe. Mm-hmm. It does work, but the thing is, the existing like we talked about the pre-existing metropolitan like kind of culture and
okay, I don't think okay, yeah, I don't think we necessarily I don't think we necessarily disagree with that. I agree with you that all of these other factors are going to be at play, but like, would you agree? I'm sure you would agree, just because it's land and everything, that like housing markets are almost necessarily like unbelievably distorted markets, right? With so many different pressures and external factors that are, you know, like setting price caps and tax incentives and everything else, right? That so like for housing markets, when we try to like adjust housing, we're doing it like in the most like around roundabout, like edge nibbling, tax incentive, whatever bullshit way possible. But like, do you agree with that statement?
Are you trying to say from the government perspective, it's very hard to get a national movement on it?
No. I'm just saying that like groceries are a thing that I would view as being a relatively fair, good, well-functioning market. I can go to a variety of grocery stores. I imagine grocery stores have a variety of people that they can buy stuff from. The prices are highly competitive. It's a very liquid market. I can price compete. That's like a good market. But when it comes to housing, there's like a physical limitation on space. There are tons of different tax incentives built for first time owners versus second or third, that like there's just so many different things, external things. Like if I were to provide a subsidy on apples, if I were to give you like a price ceiling on apples, that would cause a whole bunch of market distortions.
Yeah, you're basically saying the elasticity of the market is
not necessarily just elasticity. I mean, that's part of it, but I'm saying that like that the housing market is an incredibly distorted market, that you would never view that as like, oh, this is just like a free market, like everybody's doing what they want. That, and I'm not necessarily saying it shouldn't be distorted, but there are so many things that distort the housing market. Yeah, but the but like builders just wanting to build, like in that simple sense, is not necessarily one of them. That's not like a thing that's like a huge problem. Like if it was possible to build easily in an area, people would just do it. But there's a whole bunch of reasons. Yeah. Okay. I think that was my broad point.
Give them the incentives, they will build.
Sure.
But they don't exist right now. So yeah, that's why they're not building.
Okay. All right. I'll have you be careful.
Okay. And in the week that a fire, a Molotov cocktail and a bullet gets shot into Sam Altman's house, it's deadly serious. And if you reverse it, I always reverse it. What if a Republican sat outside of Bernie Sanders' second or third home and said, this is his pied a terre, this is his summer home, we should add, you know, taxes to it. And I'm sure you could look up Bernie Sanders' home pretty easily. So just before you point at people's homes and say, this is the villain, be careful, folks, because then if something does happen to that person, like, you know, what happened to Sam Altman this week, you can feel however you want about him, but nobody deserves to have their house firebombed or shot.
I don't necessarily disagree with what this guy is saying. But like I'm sorry, after the Trump stuff, you literally have just no ground to stand on whatsoever. I really just don't ever want to hear you talking about anything having to do with morality ever again. Probably, I think he's too old to outlive that horrendous mistake of being such a Trump dick suck. That cum will never work its way through the moral soul of who you are, such that I never want to hear your take on any moral statement ever again. I just don't. Like, fuck off into whatever.
Not that. Period, full stop.
I just think that it's going to kill the demand. For, you know, maybe people who already have a home in New York, like Ken Griffin, they probably are just going to suck it up and pay the tax and keep whatever they have. But if you were a person who was thinking about buying a pied a terre in New York, there's no way you would do it now.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what the tax rate is going to be, and it's going to keep going up.
After a decade.
Holy shit. Apparently, this used to be, people said this used to be like a real business podcast, and that these guys kind of actually know their shit. This guy just said like 7 very correct things in a row that I am not used to hearing people say. The reality is most rich people do just suck up taxes. Unless you're talking about like market related stuff. Like if you're talking about a second or third home, a 3% tax is not like, oh, I've got to do my whole calculation. Like, they're probably just not going to pay it because it's New York City. You want to have it's a third fucking home. It's a second or third fucking home they don't even live in. You think a 3% boost in tax is going to drive you away from it? Like they probably will suck it up and pay for it. That is correct.
Out of here in New York, there's no way you would do it now.
Yeah,
because in terms of, it might discourage people from buying second or third properties. That might be true, but that also might be the goal. That might be the goal. Wait, where's Metalloid at? Do you disagree with my take there, Metalloid? And that I think it's generally good that if people have homes or people own at least like residential property in an area, you probably want people that live in it. It's probably generally a good thing. You want those people there contributing to your local economy, paying taxes, like using the property, right? Like that's, especially because it's like a thing that's, yeah, okay, yeah. Because it's like, you're so capped on the supply for this because like physics, you can only have so many homes in an area, you know?
I don't know what the tax rate's going to be and it's going to keep going up.
After a decade with interest and inflation, you've effectively almost doubled the price of your unit. So if you're going to buy a $10 million unit, you're probably then looking at a $20 million purchase prices to break even after about 10 or 11 years. That's crazy. The math doesn't work.
What is the downstream effect of these individuals not coming to New York, going to a Knicks game?
Nothing.
Going to a restaurant? No, nothing. They spend money. They spend money in New York. They have their birthday party. They do all kinds of things.
What? Wait, who?
To a Knicks game.
Hold nothing. On.
Going to a...
Where is... Where... where was this guy for the last year? That's true. There won't be. You think people are going to stop going to New York City? He's absolutely right. Wait, where the fuck has this guy been? Wait, where has this guy been for so long? I've heard so many dog shit takes from this guy that it is like high school econ levels of failure to understand anything. Where has this guy been forever?
Restaurant. No, nothing. They spend money. They spend money in New York. They have their birthday party. They do all kinds of things.
I'm not a big fan of the pied-à-terre culture. I own one house. I don't like this whole...
Fuck it. Oh, fuck. Maybe it's just because him personally. But no, fucking A. Yeah. What? Oh, no. Now that I don't have my third house in New York City, I'm not going to go to shows in Madison Square Garden. I'm not going to see shows. I'm not going to go and do whatever sport. I don't know what the fuck people do in New York City. But like, yeah, obviously it's not going to have any impact. Come on.
Multiple houses, you flitter-flattering everywhere. It ruined London. Because
it's only... Okay. Oh, shit.
When you look at London...
Where do you vacation? Chamath, where do you vacation?
I go to a hotel.
Okay.
Holy rich person problems. How the fuck do you go on a vacation to a place? Where do you stay? On the street? If you don't have another home there?
So my point is this, that I think the way that...
Did he expect him to answer differently?
It works as it's not just pied-à-terre. If you own a home that you fully rent out, but that is not the primary residence of the person who is renting it, it's also a problem.
Do you really own second or third properties as an individual and you rent them out? I feel like most people that are doing this probably should have a second, like a business, like an LLC or something. And then there's going to be a whole separate thing of rules and everything that would apply, would be my guess. But
so this is you had a 2-week rental or a 1-week rental or a 30-day rental or even a 5-year rental and it was somebody else's second home, the owner still gets hit. So the rental, the sort of rentals of like folks who want to come to that city or who don't want to own in that city. But it's a second place. The second place thing goes away. So maybe this is just good for hotels.
I think it's good for hotels. But if you look at London, it's probably the best example where there was a lot of people who used London as a place to store assets. Real estate became the primary way in which they would do that. It hollowed out parts of London where it's not as if it was unlivable. It's just that it was unlived. Mm. Nobody was there. You drive around Chelsea, you drive around certain parts of London, and it was like a ghost town on like a Thursday night or a Friday night.
That is an issue. It's the land banking. It's like your Bitcoin is hollowing out a neighborhood and there is something there. But you know what? The whole housing thing is complete cap and utter bullshit, because if you move to a place like Austin where you are in Nevada or Florida, you see what happens when you allow people to build units. In Austin, 3 years in a row, rents and housing prices have gone down while net migration has gone up.
But that's been good, right? For Austin, you guys would say? Net good.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah, amazing. Austin has like roughly doubled the city over the past decade, and yet the rent for, you know, whatever, 1 or 2-bedroom apartments gone down.
That's incredible.
So in other words, if you let people build to satisfy the demand, you won't have this problem.
Yeah, but like there's this issue for New York City. Hold on, let me check. My geography's really bad. It's still surrounded by water on all sides, right? That's still like a thing. Yeah, it looks like it, I think. That hasn't changed. Manhattan's got, yeah, there's all this. Yeah, it's kind of hard to, what about over here? Is it still kind of like a island thing? Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. Not really sure what you do about that.
And then who's stopping the building? It's Democratic cities. Yeah. It's NIMBY people. And then in a Republican town, they're actually building units for...
I'm sorry. Austin, the Republican town? Also, I love how he's like adopted the vernacular of like fucking hicks, like Democrat cities, but Republican towns. Oh my fucking God.
And affordability. So you have one group saying they care about affordability and they're doing nothing about it and they're stopping it. And in another place, they're like, we're just gonna let you build because it's your right to build because it's your land. That's the approach in Texas. It's your land. You have the right to develop it. Go.
By the way, the high end of the market in London has basically turned over and collapsed. Sachs, to your point, like they introduced the stamp tax, which I think is equivalent to this tax that the New York City mayor is proposing. And if you look at London as a guide, the real estate market just bit it. At the high end. And
I don't think that's going to be good for that city or even the UK as a whole. There's a handful of cities where people do what you say, which is kind of park money there. The reason why they do that is because they believe that that city, A, has the rule of law, and B, is a unique world-class city that's going to keep appreciating. And if you have new management that doesn't really believe in the rule of law, that basically keeps imposing all these arbitrary taxes, that money is going to flee and find other kinds of...
Is this a land value tax take? I hate homes for individuals as stores of wealth. I hate it. I think it is the worst, most distortionary. It's just a terrible, because we need to live in homes. Homes are meant to be lived in. It is a place where people are supposed to live. I hate the idea that individuals use their homes as their primary store of wealth. It is so fucking AIDS cancer. Imagine if when you walked into a bank, imagine you had to store your money in $100 bills. And when you go to the bank, a guy's got $1 million there and you can only have them in like stacks of 10. And like the bank has to take up 10,000 square miles for people to lay all their money out. And it's just this huge fucking waste of space. And it's like, why are we doing this? This is what homes have become. I can't sell my home. I can't move. This is my primary wealth vehicle. This is my nest. It's so cancerous. Oh my God. It's so cancerous. Ugh.
Investment. People aren't going to park their money there. That has to be a bad thing for the city. It's like, you know, who cares if the top floor of that building where Ken Griffin lives is owned by one guy who isn't there that much, it's not going to affect the city that much. But having all these billionaires from all over the world decide to park money in that American city has to be good for the U.S., just like it's good for the U.K. And if you give that up...
It has to be good for the U.S. Wow. Like, are there investment opportunities or are there businesses that these people are no longer going to be involved in because they can't have their third home in some penthouse or some top floor in a car? I don't believe that.
Then again, the money will just go somewhere else.
Well, to your
the
point,
only thing is they're already paying taxes on the property. And because they're not there very often, they're not using city services. So they're paying taxes on the property. They're not using city services.
They're profitable to the city. Yeah.
Think about a developer who...
Yeah, but you don't just want like a ghost town, but they're at least paying property taxes, right? You want people living in there. You want people there participating in your city.
Who's underwriting some new project. You know, the fact that a whale like Ken Griffin is willing to overpay in the sense of price per foot for that top floor might make that whole project pencil. And this is what contributes to the vitality of New York, is there's constantly development going on. There's constantly cranes. And so you take out that part of the market that in effect was price insensitive and was subsidizing all these projects. And I think development's going to dry up to a large degree.
Mm-hmm. He must be paying $3 or $4 million in taxes every year and getting no services. To your point, Travis, good point. Like all profit for the
London
city.
Also did something else, which is that they essentially crippled what's called non-dom status, which is the big tax arb if you moving or parking assets in London. And to your point, Sachs, what did all the rich people do? They just redirected themselves to Zurich, to Lugano, to Milan, and they took advantage of more hospitable tax policy in other places. Now, what the people in Britain would tell you, I actually met with the UK government yesterday.
The whole government?
They don't see a meaningfully enough measurable impact yet where they think it's a five-alarm fire. So the real question is it more of a slow bleed and a slow melt? And at some point, it's just hollowed out and it's very hard to reverse because there's not going to be a cataclysmic acute moment where people say, oh my God, we need to reverse these policies. It doesn't seem like that's in the offing.
You know, LA did something a little different, but similar, is they introduced that 5% mansion tax. It's on like all the areas except for like Beverly Hills and
San Francisco has that too.
Yeah, San Francisco got that. I think it's actually like 6% in San Francisco.
San Francisco, it's 6% over 25 million and it starts at 5 million. So there's a transfer tax, an excess transfer tax above $5 million properties that scales up above $25 million to an extra 6% on top of your brokerage commission. So when you sell a house in San Francisco, you're paying 13% now.
Which is why you look at the transaction volume in the LA real estate market and it's just completely dried up. You know, people aren't doing the house flipping anymore, like that kind of stuff, because the transaction costs are too high. But it just shows, I mean, again, this tax was imposed retroactively. For example, I had my house in SF and then they just take, you know, a couple of rooms of it. And we talked about this on the show when it happened. But my point is just your property is not safe in blue states. And wealthy people who have a choice of where to park their money are going to increasingly realize that. And they're not going to buy. I think real estate in blue states is dangerous because the political class thinks that they can take a chunk of it. And, you know, the wealthy people are going to react to that and they're going to move their money elsewhere.
All right, let's.
I don't think what he's saying is necessarily wrong. And I understand that these guys are still right wing dick sucks or whatever. But like, I think that it's worth it to analyze that statement a little bit. Like, I think I don't know if real estate should be seen as a safe investment insofar as like you're buying a thing and not living there. Now, if we were attacking like companies that owned property that were renting it out, like leasing people or landlords or whatever else, then like I think that's worth interrogating because we need people that, you know, you need to be able to rent a place because not everybody wants to buy a place. Like I think that's worth thinking about. But it might be that it's more dangerous for people to buy land and then not live there, but that might be okay. You might want to discourage that, exactly that type of economic thing, right?
Go to topic number one. OpenAI is apparently suffering from a bit of an identity crisis. On Sunday, OpenAI's chief revenue officer, Denise Dresser, sent a four-page memo to employees. Obviously, it leaked immediately, probably the point of it. And she called out Anthropic. She said their $30 billion run rate is cap, inflated by $8 billion due to a revenue share and some accounting with AI model providers. Chamathi pointed that out in the last couple of weeks. Also, she said Anthropic story is built on, quote, with AI.
What is a run rate? Is that like if all cylinders firing, this is how much money they make every year or?
Model providers, to my viewpoint, that in the last couple of weeks. Also, she said Anthropic story is built on, quote, fear, restriction, and the idea that a small group of elites should control AI. Obviously, she's a fan of the pod. She also laid out OpenAI's pivoting, and she said they are going hard after business customers, and they want to win the agent platform layer. If you remember, they hired the architect of the open source project, OpenClaw. They didn't acquire OpenClaw. So Peter Steinberger is working at OpenAI. Cynical people said, hey, maybe they want his next set of innovations to go inside of OpenAI's products as opposed to the open source one. I kind of agree with that directionally. There's obviously Perplexity Computer is doing really well. They quadrupled their revenue. And I was over at XAI earlier this week with Elon. I can tell you he's got some very cool stuff coming. And this new model, Spud, is coming from OpenAI. Here's your polymorph, 75% chance Spud is released next week. Additionally, and we'll go to the panel in just a second, on Tuesday, 2 days after this memo came out, obviously people write these memos to go directly to the press, so they're obviously trying to undercut Anthropic's valuation, and they feel that's a threat. That's my take. The FT cited anonymous OpenAI investors who are frustrated with the company's lack of focus. Here's the anonymous quote. Quote, you have ChatGPT, a 1 billion user business growing 50 to 100% a year. What are you doing talking about enterprise and code? It's a deeply unfocused company. And we talked about this. ChatGPT's market share is going down as the number of users is going up because Gemini and Claude gaining significantly. And Meta just last week released their first...
Run rate means they aren't making money, and that's how long they can pay the bills for it. Gotcha.
Proprietary model. And Apple doesn't have a product in market yet, but they do have a lot of users. So here's your Gen AI website traffic. Let's start, Chamath, with you. Your thoughts on...
Damn. I feel like I hear everybody shit talk ChatGPT all the time, but here it looks like people still use it way more than everybody else. Why... What is ChatGPT used for? What do people use? Is it just normies? Do normies use AI that much? I would have imagined that the like coders and everybody would be using it way more by now. But maybe that's like a, just such a small section of the market. I don't know.
Website traffic. Let's start, Chamath, with you. Your thoughts on OpenAI. Should they be pivoting straight into business developers and getting focused on that? Or should they stay focused on the consumer where they are?
ChatGPT is the new Google for normie? Oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not using it enough. My bad. Okay. Do I care about anything else?